Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Tammy Georgia, like Georgia the state, who's the author of Touchstone Moments, Golden Nuggets on the Shaman's Path. Tammy is a mom, wife, healer, sage, a medicine woman, a shaman, and a massage therapist. She has launched a wellness practice and practices both in Maryland and in Montana. Welcome, Tammy. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Susan. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm doing well. I did surgery all morning, so it's good to just rest. This is how I'm resting
nice
my radio show.
Deep breath in, deep breath out.
Right, nice. Right. So, would you like to tell our audience a little bit about how you got on the shaman's path, a little how you were guided into this and what touchstone moments are?
Well, absolutely, and thanks for that. You know, how does one get launched on the shaman's path? That's a great question, and it's an interesting journey, and I have a lot of thoughts around that. Because one of the things that I think about is that we all have that ability, and I think that we all come from that place of consciousness, and somewhere along the line in our lives, we go into what I call that deep slumber, and, you know, we're taken offline, and we look at the shaman's journey as one that is not only on a healer's journey, but one that's really connected to that oneness, to that sense of consciousness, and I really think that we all have that, and I think that I can remember, you know, as a child, just knowing that connection and being in that place of oneness, you know, talking with the trees and knowing what the rivers felt like and being one with the elements. And I think, you know, there's, if I would say there was one particular thing that launched me on that journey, I would say there's a great story of me going to Peru and you know, it's actually one of my favorite little stories to tell, but I really want our listeners to understand, and that people to understand, is that we all have that. We all are shamans, you know, we're all there. We're all, if you wake up and you connect, you can all always connect to that oneness. And the touchstone moments, what I have written about, are those moments of awakening, are those moments where something happens in your life that you are all of a sudden, the whisper becomes a little bit louder that says, wake up, sunshine, you know, wake up. And those are what I'm calling the touchstone moments.
Well, before we get into some of the examples of that, they want to put you on a separate line. So we're going to go to a short break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like a million bucks. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plastico's and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
Welcome back to Temple of Health. We're talking with Tammy Georgia, her book Touchstone Moments, Golden Nuggets on a Shaman's Path. Tammy's telling us that touchstone moments are moments of awakening, and I would like her to share some of her personal experiences with awakening and let the listeners know how to recognize such moments.
So personal moments of awakening, gosh, you know, there's so many, you know. I'm an old lady.
You're an old lady, huh?
You know, that being said, I think that the importance of touchstone moments is that when we recognize them, we hear the universe colluding with us. We hear those that call that maybe starts out as a little whisper that says, change is coming. Hello, wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, are you listening? The universe is always around us, giving us these messages that we need to wake up in our lives. And I don't think that it's as important what those pivotal moments are as much as how we deal with them, you know? Everybody has a story to tell. My book is filled with lots of different stories, but the purpose of that is that I think that I'm not an anomaly. Mm-hmm. I think that we all have these moments that wake us and shake us and turn our lives upside down sometimes, and it's really about how we deal with them and what are the tools that are available to take us through those moments with a little bit of grace and integrity and give us the opportunities to really shift us out of old paradigm thinking and move us into a different way of thinking, don't you think?
Yeah, I think some of my moments have been mostly when I was in danger or was fearful, and I remember a calmness coming over me and getting specific guidance on how to get out of the problem. So I think what that meant for me is that I began to understand the depth and the degree of protection I have. Because some of it was like, knives to your throat, guns to your head, you know, those kind of problems. And I was guided specifically in each case to get out of it unharmed. Even though, you know, like one of them was I was in sixth grade and the guy was in 12th grade and he had a knife to my throat and said he was going to rape me. Had drugged me up the stairs in a school. And I got guidance. I mean, a calm came over me. I got specific guidance. I had to kick him. I kicked him in the groin and I ran and he dropped the knife and I ran and I got away. And then he chased me. And unfortunately, because he chased me, he got caught because, you know, if he had not chased me, I don't think he would have gotten caught. But he was not very bright to, you know, to chase me because I ran into the auditorium where my parents were, and, you know, he got caught. So it's just interesting that the calmness, the degree of the lack of fear, and then the instruction. Because you can get, I mean, it's almost like you can get out of anything.
You know, absolutely.
If it's not your time to go, you're not going to go.
Well, and also what I... You know, and this is where the medicine woman in me comes in, and the energy medicine and the shaman practice would say, you know, this was the universe saying you were having some boundary issues that you weren't paying attention to. And so the universe was now, I refer to in my book is kicking your ass, you know. Stuff is coming.
Yeah, but, you know, all I did, Tammy, was... Tammy, all I did was go out and get a drink at the water fountain. I was abducted.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that happens, though. We live in a dangerous world. I don't think there was any problem going out in the high school out of an auditorium to get a drink of water. You know, I mean, there shouldn't have been. You know, you don't expect a predator in the hallway.
And that's the whole thing about these moments is you never know when they're going to happen.
You don't.
And there are, if we believe that the universe is always colluding with us, then we have to believe that on both sides of the equation. We've got to believe mm-hmm. that when you're going out to get a drink of water, and we've got to say, yeah, okay, so you should have every right in the world to go out and get a drink of water without being accosted and abducted.
Yeah.
Threatened. But on the other side of that equation is that, is there something that's nudging you along the way that says, you know what, I need to get some clear boundaries? Or what was the deeper message that was going on underneath of there that changed your life? That was a pivotal moment.
Well, no, I mean, for me, I think I know what it was. I think it was for me to really understand in the core of my being that I am protected. Because if you look at my life, it's been a series of more and more progressive threats that, and that have continued even until, you know, recently. I mean, serious threats. I can't go into it in the air, but very serious threats as a result of writing a book that threatens $2 billion industries. Let's say that. So basically, I have had to trust this guidance, this deep, deep, deep guidance of protection in progressive steps. And I think because it was my life path to be in harm's way. And in fact, I was interviewing Doreen Virtue, and she said, I have two male class warrior guardian angels because I protect the underdog and I'm frequently in trouble. You know, because I am frequently out in front. Okay, so that is why. That was the beginning of this education I had. I think it was an education in understanding the depth of my spiritual protection, because I would use it again and again and again throughout my life.
And so that was your golden nugget. The golden nugget,
right,
in which I refer to are those little pieces in your life that say, you know, you are an absolute in protection, and what a gift
right.
that you've been able to take away from that.
Yeah, I think that's the important message for all of us, is that we truly, if we follow our guidance, we truly will not be in danger. And I don't think people really understand how important it is to get straight with the guidance, you know, to understand that when, you know, Spirit says, don't go down that alleyway, don't go down that alleyway. You know, there's
listen
a reason.
Up, right, exactly.
Yeah, right. But, you know, but if you want to go down an alleyway at night, you often can. You know, I ask, I said, can I go here? And the answer is yes, it's fine. You know, there is no danger.
Right.
So I walk down the dark alley because it's safer than walking down the street, which is interesting. I mean, sometimes I ask, should I go to the alley or should I go to the street? And a lot of times the alley is safer, because there's some more problematic out on the street. And the point is, we do have this guidance that is very, very accurate.
Yeah, and I love, you know, what you're talking about as far as this protection and this place of you know, just knowing and understanding when you have your guides in place and when you have, you know, a certain realm around you. And it reminds me, I was leading a retreat this last summer, and we were in Peru, and it was a beautiful, beautiful experience in bringing people in to walk the path of the High Priestess. And our very first initiation, we went into to the mountain that's called Sacsay Woman, and Sacsay Woman is where we did our very first arrival to just pay homage and go to the mountains and say, you know, we're here, and, you know, thank you for holding us in safe passage, and we're opening up our hearts and this and that. And we ran into a shaman who actually ran into, if there's anything of, you know, coincidences and synchronicities, you know, there it is. And he said, you know, I had a dream that you were coming. You're here to do ceremony, yes? We said, yes, in fact. And he said, yes, I came to make ceremony with you. And so he gave us all a little, you know, piece of wisdom, and he did a coca leaf reading for all of us. And when it came to be my turn, he said, you need to really protect yourself. And he said, you know, you have big medicine, and there's a lot of people out there that want your medicine. And he went into this whole fear-based paradigm, you know. And I was so taken back by it, you know, because there's that it feeds a certain piece of our fear, you know, that we want to go into and we want to go, whoa, wait a minute, what, you know, okay, oh, this is, what do I do to protect myself and all this, you know? And I was just, I could feel myself in my body saying, this doesn't resonate. This mm-hmm. doesn't speak to me. And I said to him, you know, sweetie, this is an old paradigm, you know, when we come from a fear base. And if there's something, you know, when I work with people and my medicine is all about unconditional love, you can't steal anything from me that's not given freely. And mm-hmm. this is where I think our heart is, in that when we walk on this earth in that sort of a consciousness and we move out of the fear base, then we really do walk in protection, don't we? You know? And I think that's a huge piece.
Yeah, I think that you really don't know what, you know, how powerful the guidance can be until you have been in a few situations where any logical or reasonable person, or even, you know, what would be expected is a bad outcome. You see what I mean? It's almost like mm-hmm. a miracle happens. And all of a sudden, you're in a real dangerous situation, and yet nobody sees you. What about that one? You know, that you're right there. You're within 4 feet of them, but nobody can even see you.
Yeah, yeah, you've got your bands of protection are up, and you're wearing your...
I mean, it's weird. It's just weird.
Broken. Yeah, true.
That happened to me. I was in a real dangerous situation. And I swear to God, the police didn't see me and the criminals didn't see me.
Right, right.
And I didn't do anything. I was just guided into that situation directly. I mean, I was told to be there and guided each step of the way. And then I was there, and then I was taken off, and then I was told in my, you know, my guidance said, you've been shown the secret of invisibility. In other words, you can become invisible to other people. And it sure seemed like I was invisible, because otherwise I should have been a victim. You know, I mean, I should have been a victim. But, you know,
right.
I mean, in a normal, I mean, I wasn't trying to be a victim. I was just guided into a very dangerous situation to show me that there is such a thing as invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe
right.
that I wasn't seen. Now, I don't know how that was done. I mean, I didn't do anything. It wasn't like I was trying to be invisible. I was just looking around going, this is a very interesting situation. I mean, but, you know, it's been in different times. I mean, one time there was a guy with a gun in a hotel lobby, and I was right there, you know. Very different situations, a number of them. And each one, I think I was shown that, you know, you're perfectly safe, even in a very dangerous situation.
So I will be glad for you when you really trust that through and through, and you can stop putting yourself into those very dangerous situations so that you aren't risking your life anymore.
Oh, no, I think I'm deliberately guided into them. I think that a lot of my path is following the guidance very, 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 directly and succinctly, and, you know, minute by minute guidance to sharpen it. Does that make sense?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just think that that looking back on it, I think that all of those things, I mean, those don't happen right now, but all of those things helped me survive a very dangerous time in my life that occurred within the last 5 years that was
mm-hmm.
was really intense and really dangerous for about 3.5 years. So I think that that was what that was for. I think I was being prepared for that. I just think my job here, my, you know, the fact that I am doing what I'm doing attracts a certain kind of attention that is not necessarily, you know, pleasant. I mean, not that I mean to, or not that I even knew that I would. You know, I didn't intend to. But the practice throughout my life of paying attention to the guidance very specifically than was successful in me being here today talking to you, rather than, you know, being not here, which could happen very, very easily. I'll fill you in sometime. I can't really talk about it on the air, but it's just
I hear there's very lingo going on. It sounds very exciting and spy-like.
Well, you know, it's very few people have had to go through what I went through, except some of the other whistleblowers that I interview on this show. And some of them are currently going through what I went through several years ago. So, you know, I mean, I know I'm not alone. I know that this is very common in terms of what people have. You know, one of my friends called me up, anthrax had been put in her luggage, you know, stuff like that. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, deliberately putting ourselves in danger. We're just doing our job. She's a toxicologist. I'm a, you know, I'm a plastic surgeon who happened to write a book threatening some billion-dollar industries. You see, that's, we just are doing our job, but we're coming crossways with some pretty powerful, you know, individuals and corporations and families. So, I mean, we don't mean to do this. We're just trying to help. I'm trying to help women damaged by or injured by breast implants. That's all I'm doing. But evidently, that's not, you know.
Well, when you shine the light on the shadow side, you know, there's always you know, backlash, and that,
right.
You know, on every single level. Mm-hmm. And you know, those are some of the things that, you know, as you are going through this, that, you know, you can put things into place, you know, mm-hmm. and going through honoring it, ceremony, you know, bands of protection, things that help you to move through this, because you are a person that shines the light on mm-hmm. the shadow of the world. You know, there are some really great techniques and tools out there for you to, you know, help you to keep yourself so that you're not, you know, that you continue. And it sounds like you trusting in those guides and you trusting in, you know, that greater consciousness that's guiding you to begin with, you know, you wouldn't be guided on this path if you weren't meant to be there.
Yeah, and the other people going through this right now or have gone through it, if it wasn't for their guidance, like not opening the luggage except having your friend open it with a hazmat suit, you see?
Oh,
not,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I can give you a lot of examples, but these are very specific guidances, okay? Very specific, not just general, you know, type of protection ceremonies. These are like when you go to open your luggage, you hear, no, don't open this. And so you
right.
don't.
And the beauty is
okay.
that you
and so
that.
Yeah, and I have a lot of other people that I interview on this radio show who are going through that currently. You have to understand that I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
People who are exposing chemtrails, people who are exposing GMO foods. It's really interesting, all of the people, stem cells. The last one was a
right.
guy in Thailand with stem cells. You know, it's like, it's just very interesting how many people are going through similar things to what I went through and surviving because they have spiritual sight and hearing. And
well,
you know,
and
you hear other people that are not
is.
Surviving. You know, they don't survive because they, you know, they don't get the really specific guidance that keeps them safe. Anyway, it's just interesting.
That this is and I believe that this is the absolute most beautiful time to expose all of these multi-million-dollar corporations who are doing things that are out of integrity. And that it's time, you know, as we see this shift in paradigm, as we see this major shift in consciousness that's happening, where people are guided from that higher vibration, from the
mm-hmm.
from the consciousness that's of oneness, that is saying this is not okay, that these folks are going down. These big corporations that, like I say, are out of integrity are being challenged. And thank God for people like you, and I really mean that from my heart. Thank God for people like you who are willing to step forward and challenge it and say, "No way, Jose! This is not okay. This is not okay
yeah.
for the greater good of humanity." And we're saying no, thank you, bye bye.
And what's really happening, Tammy, is that more and more and more people, most of them are scientists, doctors, researchers. I mean, these are people with degrees. These are not just people who have a hobby. These are experts in their fields are becoming whistleblowers, and it's more and more and more. I mean, it's really interesting. You're right. There's an energy coming in that is outing the whistleblowers so that they feel like they have to say what they have to say. And, then the guidance protects them. And then probably the people behind these things like the anthrax and the luggage are probably shaking their head going, wait a minute, what's going on here? why is this failing? these are things that should be working. I think that we're in a time of enlightenment. Literally, where the light is shining on all the areas of darkness.
I believe that. And I believe, I believe that our show today that we're doing, that our program is airing on Saturday, but I think it's fabulous that you and I are talking about this and shining the light on it during the day. Do you know that today, this is Tuesday, and we are in a solar eclipse where, our light is going to be shadowed. And I always say to folks, today is a beautiful day to look at your shadow side and really kind of look at those things that are no longer serving your highest good and really sit with yourself and shine the light on those things. And because it starts with us individually, and then it ripples out, and we continue to move and grow as a society and as our communities start taking hold and so forth and so on. And I do believe that this is a place and a time of enlightenment. I'm so excited for us. I'm so excited to hear things like this, what you're talking about and whistleblowers. I'm so excited. It's change, and change is scary, but it's beautiful change. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, and I think they will. I think within a year, there will be so much information that comes out about what really happened instead of what we thought happened in so many different areas. And I think that is the first part of our healing. The majority of people are asleep, literally asleep. They're asleep to what's going on around them. They're asleep to the agendas that are being carried out by government and big business. They're asleep to anything except maybe their sports and their TV and their immediate little lives, and don't realize how important it is to understand that if we don't straighten out things like GMO, chemtrails, if our food supply is not healthy and it contains prions that then lead to dementia, and yet nobody ever talks about them. The chemtrails having, mycoplasma and other organisms and even chemicals that aren't healthy for us, barium, strontium, and aluminum. These are things that people need to be aware of. They need to be aware of the agendas behind them. And, of course, it's not pleasant. Everybody goes, oh, that's just conspiracy theory. And most of us go, well, it's not a theory. It's measured. It's scientific. I mean, interview all of the scientists on this. This is not something that is somebody's crazy idea. It's a complete picture. But I think that the next year, many, many of the people who are asleep are going to be waking up, and not just, in consciousness waking up, like you and I woke up, okay, but also waking up to the reality that our world is an incredibly controlled place that needs to be freed from these agendas. And if you don't understand the agendas, then, go online and start reading about them, because they affect the food you eat, they affect the air you breathe, they affect our water supply, they affect our money, they affect our banking, they affect, your breast implants. You can't even get the FDA to do what they're supposed to do to protect the public with the right studies. The studies aren't right because they're industry controlled, But anything you look at, it's controlled by a certain agenda, and that has to go away for us to truly be free. or even truly live lives that aren't riddled with disease, like cancer from, you know, environmental toxins and you know, Alzheimer's from prion disease in the meat. I mean, you've got all these dangers out there that you don't even, I mean, what about the chemicals in the seafood from the oil volcano that was down in the Gulf? And, you know, the high arsenic levels that are in the seafood now. So you're just going out eating seafood, not even aware of it, you know?
Right. And I think that it's when we talk about our food consumption and we talk about what's in our food, it makes it very difficult for people to wake up from that slumber because they are continuously being fed the same kinds of sleeping pills, so to speak, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps people lethargic and it keeps people into that great slumber. And I believe that that the exciting thing is that people are waking up and it's starting, you know, it has to start somewhere. If we start talking about, you know, the chemtrails to somebody who's just waking up, they're just going to go right back to sleep because it's too hard, it's too big, it's too much.
I know.
I don't understand
it.
I can't tackle GMOs. I can't tackle chemtrails. I can't tackle it all. I can only, you know what, I can't even manage to get myself to the grocery store and, you know, buy something that's organic. I'm still at the level of, could I buy organic or not, you know? And
mm-hmm.
what the hell does that mean? And so I think that, you know, the beauty is that people are starting to wake up, and it starts within just you. And don't feel so overwhelmed by it all, and just do your little part to keep yourself awake and find tools to keep yourself awake, and then expand your family, and then expand into your community. And then, mm-hmm. you know, when you're wide awake and you're raring to go, then, you know, you can start getting involved in, you know, social actions within your community and other things. And I think that this is a huge, huge piece for all of us in waking up and feeling, you know, from that slumber. And as we wake up collectively, I mean, and this is what I'm seeing, the pulse around the world, is that there's like collective pods going, whoa, you know, it's awesome. It's just absolutely beautiful to see. And people who are taking risks to like do the things that you're talking about, you know, to expose mm-hmm. and shine the light on and these bigger risk takers. And, you know, man, it's I think it's just, it leaves me with a place of feeling very grateful and hopeful,
mm-hmm.
very, very hopeful, and understanding that, you know, this was one of the things that really encouraged me and propelled me to write this little book that I, you know, because I've seen so many people who are waking up and so many people who are going, but I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to shift this on my own personal level.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get out there and help, you know, on a global consciousness when I can't even maintain what's going on, you know, and how do I hold on to the shift? You know, I have periods of awakening and then I go back into the slumber and I go, what the hell? I've been, you know, 3 months ago I felt really good and now I'm back on this, you know, this thing again, you know?
Yeah, I want to mention one thing, Tammy, about fluoride. Are you aware what fluoride does to the pineal gland?
Isn't that amazing? And that's the biggest thing that's been the thing to keep us in slumber. It is.
Well, we need to tell people about it. Don't drink fluorinated water because fluoride affects the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is the very center of this awakening. I mean, when you have spiritual sight, the pineal gland actually has the same type of cells that the retina has, so that when you go within and look and see spiritually, you actually are using the same kind of cells. And if you take vitamin K, that will help clear your pineal gland so that you can see what you need to do. By seeing, I mean literally look and see what kind of food you're supposed to eat and have them appear before you, you know, I mean, look within. And I'm sure you, as a shaman, you learn to open that inner eye.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You learn to open the eye and you learn to attune and you learn to, you know, adjust that opening and that place where, you know, you can access all, but you know, and my feeling is that, you know, I really do want to talk a little bit more about the fluoride in the water, and I want to encourage our listeners. I mean, you know, that's a whole huge program right there. And I have all sorts of posts on my Facebook page.
Give us your page.
Yes, Facebook is Touchstone Wellness Solutions, and mm-hmm. And then also just under me, Tammy Georgia, and so and also on my website, which is also touchstonewellnesssolutions.com, and you know, I encourage our listeners do a little history research, and that's a huge eye opener to tell you about how deep. Talk about, you know, what you were talking about before. You know, and you know, the bigger picture of who all's involved in what. When you start looking at who all's involved in what and fluoride and how they decided to put this fluoride in our water as a byproduct for, you know, toxins that they were making, you know, in the Industrial Revolution, and gee, we don't know what to do with it. I know, let's just dump it in the water and call it good. You know, that's
Okay. Yeah, the history.
When you look at who's behind all of that, you start seeing the paper trail, and you start seeing the money trail, and you start seeing who is in control. And as you say, you know, it's an eye-opener. It's really an eye-opener. And, you know, and I don't say that to discourage people and make people feel overwhelmed and sad, but as a place of awareness and awakening,
right.
And taking things, you know, in a place of knowledge and understanding. You know, do the research yourself. Look it up. I brought that research to my dentist and said, do you know this? Do you think that you want to continue to give fluoride treatments to our children? You know, what are you thinking about this? And he's like, whoa, whoa.
Well, there's another interesting trail. I'll just outline it very quickly, but I'm sure you're aware of it. The same companies that make the chemicals that are carcinogens that are in our environment also, that through subsidiaries, own the, like a lot of the mammogram facilities, and they own a lot of the chemotherapy facilities. Then they also own a lot of the organizations like the American Cancer Association. it's just really a beautiful circle. You know, let's cause it and then let's cure it. Let's make money on each side.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that awaken to the power, baby. Hear what the earth wants. Be in touch with yourself. Awaken. And I love the idea, too, that you just mentioned vitamin K. I was unaware of the related there with the vitamin K and the pineal gland. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. That's great advice.
Helps your bones, too.
Yeah, well, I know. And it's one of the things that our body does not make on its own. So you really have to look outside of your body.
Yeah, one of the highest sources of vitamin K is hemp seeds, but I don't think you can buy those very readily.
Hemp seeds?
Hemp seeds, yeah.
another yay for hemp seeds.
I have it in the bottle.
Right.
Yeah, we used to treat cancer with hemp seed oil, and I used to get it from Canada, but now you can't even get it. It's interesting.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to take hemp seed oil. You don't get high off of it. You just get a lot of vitamin K. But
right.
They've outlawed it because it's got the word hemp in it.
I have some in my cabinet that I put in all my muffins. I didn't know if it was outlawed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. It's one on that list. You're not supposed to import it anymore.
The list. Oh,
the list. It's on the list. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's scary. Wow.
Well, that's the federal government. Meanwhile, the states are going around legalizing it. It's hilarious, you know.
Exactly.
You got to laugh about that. You know, it's funny.
And I'm actually having a teepee made from hemp. So, you know, I mean, who knows? It's all just kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so What is the deal with that? I mean, is that for real? Is it illegal? You can't buy hemp seed anymore?
I can't buy this hemp seed oil that I used to buy from Canada. They won't let it be imported to the U.S. And I didn't know of any place that made hemp seed oil in the country.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe there is in some of the states where it's legalized now. I mean, that could be true.
The problem is
the federal government still doesn't recognize that, you know, that marijuana is legal in the states. Do you see the problem?
I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in, what, Colorado and Washington state.
Right, so, right. And I think it's a really interesting dilemma in which we are in. And part of that is, again, goes back to the awake culture and the asleep culture, you know. And, you know, those who use plant medicine to numb out and those who use plant medicine to journey and awaken. And there's always that, you know, that place in between. And, you know, the fear factor that comes in of, oh, my God, are they going to awaken? We better make it illegal. And I really do feel that that's where the fear is not, you know, is it going to keep people in slumber and is it going to, you know, keep them lethargic and is it bad for you and all of this? You know, I think that the real fear factor there is the, you know, it tapping into that place of awakening and taking us into that other place of reality that allows us to see and allows us to have these visions of what is that different place of reality and tapping in that other space of wisdom, you know, where wisdom speaks. And so I think, I don't know, I think it's a really interesting dilemma that we're in with this legalization.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, in fact, I did an interview about 3 weeks ago on plant medicine, you know, sacred plant medicine, with a kind of a compilation work of all of the people that study that, and you know, it really is very difficult to do ayahuasca sessions in the United States, you know, without risking legal action if you're found out. Right, it is, and I didn't realize that, but evidently it really is. It's you can go out of country and do it, but unless you're in a certain Indian church, where I think some of the
stymie, right,
mm-hmm. right, yeah, and then that's protected.
If you belong to the church of stymie, then you can. But you know, here's my experience, and here's what I would offer to our listeners, and I get asked this question a lot, is about my experiences with plant medicine, and that, and I studied plant medicine. I was just a year ago, in fact, back into the jungle with the Shipibo tribe and was able to study with them, and my feeling about all of that is that you don't want to, it's almost like a disrespect or a dishonor to take the plant out of its indigenous place in order to get the most cleanest messages that you are supposed to get for you at that particular time. So the plant medicine is indigenous to the jungle. You should be in the jungle. You should be in there with with the shamans of the jungle who can help facilitate that, who can sing their beautiful Icaros and, you know, that can help facilitate that and bring forth the best visions and help you through whatever process it is that you're going into your plant medicine experience for, you know. And I really do feel strongly about that. I feel like if you're a peyote person who is, you know, then you wouldn't want to take it into the jungle. It's almost disrespectful to do that, you know. Keep it in the mountains. Keep it where it is. And I almost feel that way about, you know, wherever you are, there's always plant medicine around you, and there's always things that plants that can speak to you. You know, there's on all different levels, no matter where you are. And so, if you don't happen to be in the jungle, you know, I'm in Montana, so I'm new to Montana. So I've been, you know, developing a relationship with my plants around Montana, and oh my gosh, I have, you know, wild sagebrushes and, you know, all these wonderful plants that I'm learning how to commune with, and what's the, you know, doing detox baths and doing mm-hmm. different things with the different plants. And so I think that, you know, it's again getting back that connection with what's indigenous around you, and, you know, embracing that. So as far as, you know, getting in trouble in the legalities and all of that, you know, around ayahuasca and bringing it here, it might not be the best situation anyway. Go bring it.
Well, most of the people I knew that know that have done that have been specifically guided to do it, and often, as you say, in Peru or in the jungle. And also, I think it's best to have somebody who's a good guide with you. I mean, it's not something you want to do unguided, because
it really
is something that,
sure.
That's very important.
You know, when you experienced ayahuasca with a shaman who, or the maestro, it is, you know, these folks have lived in the jungle. It is in their bones. It is in their blood. It's in every cell of their body. They commune. They ask mm-hmm. permission from the plant. They go to the grandmother plant. They ask permission. They have done their dieta, their diet, for months and months and months and months and months, being clean and clear so that they can help facilitate your best journey. Mm-hmm. When I went to the Shipibo, and I've been with the Four Winds Society as well, with Alberto Villardo, we went into the jungle previously. This one, the Shipibo tribe, I highly, highly recommend. Both were fantastic, but this particular, the Temple of the Way of the Light, is where I went in this last journey to study. And wow, big, because then I learn what is their role, what did they do. So this was for me as a shaman to expand my practice and understand plant medicine a little bit more. So in that way, you know, you really understand that they've been on a strict diet, they've been communing with these plants, they know not only what else, it's not just ayahuasca, but they'll put lemongrass in, and they'll put in all these different things to raise the vibration. They'll start tracking the group that they're with and say, okay, we need to add a little bit of this and we need to add a little bit of that. They sit down with you. They want to know, you know, on a consult, what is your intention for your mind, body, and spirit? So there's a whole big piece around this that is so beautiful to help you to shift whatever it is that, you know, you feel lodged or stuck in within your system and your paradigm that needs to be, you know, or a place where you need to be moved forward. And it's absolutely, so you're absolutely right. I would never recommend, you know, doing your
mail order.
Your mail order, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also important to understand that this experience is to show you that third dimensional reality is not all that it is. It's not necessarily that you're going to do it all that often. You probably don't need to do it all that often, just when you're guided to, and it's probably a series of doors that you're opening into higher and higher dimensions. And the, you know, the plant medicine is a tool to help you do that, but you eventually want to be able to do that without the use of anything other than just your own consciousness. So, you know, it's like an experience that you do when you're guided to, but not on a regular basis. Very few shamans
do it regularly. It's like any other. It's like any other teacher. You know, you go to a teacher, you get the message that you need for you at mm-hmm. that time, and you say thank you, and you move forward with that.
Right.
One of the most powerful medicines, I guess, tools in my toolbox that I have, that I work with people, that I believe can bring you straight to that similar experience, is what I call medicine dance. And medicine dance takes you on that journey to the inside, to that place of where you can access that wisdom on a different dimension. You're mm-hmm. you're getting out of your head, you're getting into your cellular self, and you're accessing that place of oneness. Your access point is opened up, and you are out there in the other realms, in the different realities that exist beyond this third dimension. And so, you know, medicine dance is one of those. And so and I always say, you know, some people don't resonate with, you know, my husband is one that does not resonate with plant medicine. And that's, you know, I honor him for that. And I, you know, whatever, but he'll be the first one to get down on a, you know, on a medicine dance and access that wisdom. So there's lots of different ways. If it doesn't resonate with you, I encourage you to follow that, you know, follow that guide. If it's something that you want to explore and you're being called, because the mother vine will call your name and there will be no mistake about it that you know you are supposed to go and explore through plant medicine. And if you don't get that calling, then, you know, it's not for you. And that's cool. That's absolutely fine. And that's the beauty of, I think, you know, again, going back to my book, is that, you know, there's a lot of different tools out there. Find what works for you. Find, you know, as you're awakening and you're starting to hear that little call that says, wake up, you know, sometimes it's a little whisper and you want to turn your head and go, no, I'm not ready today, you know, and then it gets a little louder and then it's a little knock. And what you don't want is, you know, being hit by the pickup truck, you know.
Right.
You know, when you hear the call, you might want to pay attention, because spirit's going to get your attention one way or the other to wake up. And that's what I'm finding, is that everybody's kind of waking up in their own place, and spirit is kind of nudging all of us to say, hello, it's time to wake up. And so, you know, wake up, find the tools that work for you, that help you, and move you through these processes. And I've always said that, you know, if you can find things that help you in an experiential way, it's a lot easier to shift in that cellular level. In other words, doing it instead of just sitting and listening to somebody talking about it. Whatever.
Right, that's true. That's true. You need some spiritual practices. And your book does have meditations and other spiritual practices that are very good, that have good explanations and examples in them. We're coming up at the end of our hour, Tammy. Would you mind giving people your contact information one more time?
Oh, my goodness. That's the fastest hour ever. What a delight. Absolutely. So let's see. So touchstonewellnesssolutions.com is the website, Facebook page. And, you know, I would love to invite you to come on. I also host a radio show. We have Touchstone Wellness Radio. And we do a show, a weekly show. It's called Rockin' the Soul. And we have a great Facebook page for Rockin' the Soul. And I'd love to have you on. And let's do some more of this.
That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be great.
It's a blowing stuff. Let's do it.
Okay. That'd be great. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that we've been interviewing Tammy Georgia on Touchstone Moments, Golden Nuggets on a Shaman's Path. Do you have a word of wisdom for our listeners, Tammy?
Oh, my gosh. I would say get out of your head and into your heart. You know, get out of the analytical process, drop into your heart, and find that place of gratitude. I think that would be it.
That would be so important.
Yes.
Well, great.
And I thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was fun. Yes.
Well, we've been interviewing Tim. I'm sorry?
I said I wish you a ton of wellness.
Oh, thank you. Well, we've been interviewing Tammy Georgia on her book Touchstone Moments. Next week, I'm going to be interviewing Kent Boxberger. I don't have his book before me because we switched it out at the last minute, but we'll be interviewing him next week. And then Nancy Redstar, Star Ancestors, Extraterrestrial Contact, and the Native American Tradition. And then on the 8th of December, Ortiz on the Akashic Records, Sacred Wisdoms for Transformation. This week, it won't be this week. Join us every third Thursday for Noetic Science. That will be beginning again in January. And then we do have a free Millennium Healthcare Event Lecture, You Can Prevent Dementia. Dr. Mike Greenberg is giving that at on the 27th at 7:15 in the Dunwoody office. Well, Georgia, thanks so Tammy, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.